The Waini writers acknowledge and pay our respects to the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians whose ancestral lands we gather on. We acknowledge the deep feelings of attachment and relationship of the Kaurna people to country and extend this acknowledgement to Torres Strait Islander and all First Nations people. We respect and value their past, present and ongoing connection to the land and cultural beliefs.
This podcast episode includes content that is not suitable for ages 16 and under, such as swearing and sexual content.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Waini Writers.
Episode 2.
I am Abby Guy and I'm here with...
Harry Stewart.
We are, do we say it every time? We are two PhD writing students, writing romance fiction. And today we're going to talk about what we're reading at the moment. We ended the last episode on what we're reading at the moment, and I really feel like we could go way more into it.
I agree. Not only what we're reading at the moment, what we like to read. What we've been reading at the moment.
Yes.
What this year has entailed for us in terms of reading.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We've got so much to talk about.
Oh my God, so many things.
This is like one of our favourite topics as well.
Yeah, I'm just going to.
We always talk about, she's going to increase her height on her chair, so she's not so low.
So I'm not so tiny.
But I feel like we spend a lot of time talking about books that we read, which seems right. We're authors, right?
I mean, doesn't every writer and reader
talk about the books they read? But most of our coffee dates and even wine dates end up talking about what we're reading.
Yeah.
What we love, what we don't like. Yeah. And a caveat, I think, for this episode is we're never attacking the author.
Oh, absolutely. An important caveat,
we have nothing against any author, even if they've written books that we're not a fan of. We're just not a fan of the book.
Yeah. As Waini writers, we whine and we drink wine. And so we will be whining a little bit, I'm sure, when we talk about what we read, but it's nothing against the author. We are authors ourselves, so we know.
And we've written a lot of shit that we don't like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we can say that.
Not published. But no. We've written shit that we don't like.
We don't like. And even when. So I never take it to heart when someone says they don't like my work. And I don't.
Sometimes I do.
Sometimes you do? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not very good at.
Not very good at it?
Getting feedback. That could be a whole other episode.
That's fair. I like that. This is it. Vulnerability.
Tangents.
Yeah. But and any of the books that we talk about today, if we say that we love them, we love them. If we say that we hate them, it's nothing about the author.
Yeah. And there'll probably be spoilers too.
I imagine. There will be some spoilers.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we finished last week's episode talking about what we were reading.
Yeah.
And I was reading Happy Place by Emily Henry. I have not finished it yet, which is really bad. I'm a notoriously slow reader for somebody that writes and reads a lot. and Abby, what were you reading last week?
I was reading Boys Will Be Boys.
That's right.
By Clementine Ford. Yeah. And then I also read This Time It's Real by Anne Leung. And then I've also read, I read a lot.
You read so much more than I do at the moment.
I'm reading 2 to 3 books a week.
Wow.
Yeah. The theory books take a lot longer. Like Boys Will Be Boys, I think is going to be a couple of weeks of a read.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because I'm annotating those as I go.
Yeah, I'm quicker with the theory.
Yeah.
You're quicker with the theory. Yeah, quicker with the theory. I can, I don't pace through it, but I can do it a bit faster.
See, I'm a binger. And I'm a binger of all things. Like, I can't do things in small. I binge in everything that I do in life.
You do?
I do. So, like, I watch K-dramas. I binge those. Any TV series, K-drama or not, I am a binger.
Wow.
Like, I cannot watch. I can't watch it weekly as it comes out. I don't know how people do that with, Home and Away and that crap.
I quite like weekly.
Sorry,
not crap. And that crap. Yeah, there we go.
Home and Away.
To those out there that watch Home and Away. yeah, I like weekly stuff. I'm very routine-based. I really like Wednesdays I sit down. At the moment I'm watching the Ahsoka series on Disney+, and I love sitting down on Wednesdays and going, oh, it's Wednesday afternoon.
Wednesday,
it's time to watch my
wine.
Watch my TV show, Tuesday. But then I do get annoyed when you have to wait.
Yeah, I hate the waiting.
Yeah.
I feel like I lose interest.
That's fair.
If I'm not watching, so I binge it. I watch it all in one sitting if I can. Obviously, 16 episodes is a K-drama, so I can't watch that all in one sitting because that's 16 hours. But I will. Sometimes I do, Harry. Sometimes I do. do my very best. But it's literally everything that I do.
Yeah,
I have to binge it. Like, I do it en masse.
En masse, yeah. Consistently.
No, not drinking. I'd like to clarify. Not drinking. But reading as well. So I read en masse.
Wow.
I can't, if I pick it up, I don't want to put it down until I'm finished.
I think I should try a bit more of a binging approach to reading, because I think my issue is that I get halfway through a book, I put it down and I start another
just
one.
Never pick it back
and
up
then I
again.
Go, oh shit, I've never picked that back up again. Yeah. And I go, oh God, this is bad.
Yeah.
But so what's next? What's next on your reading list?
What's next? Yeah. Oh gosh. Well, I'm also halfway through.
Of course.
Yeah. Daughter of No Worlds.
Oh yes. Okay.
Yeah. It's a fantasy, romantasy, maybe. I've not hit any romance yet. I'm about like halfway through, yeah. According to my Kindle.
It's a Kindle read.
It's a Kindle read, yeah. I think it's by, oh my God, I'm going to butcher this and I can't look it up because I'm recording on my phone. But I think it's by Carissa Broadbent.
Okay.
She wrote the Serpents and Wings of Night series, which I read a couple weeks ago.
Oh. Did you like it? Was it good?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like, this is going to be controversial, I feel like fantasy is getting really... specifically like young adult, new adult romanticy, yeah. I feel like it's getting very formulaic. And
that's,
I know,
very
writing
fair.
Is formulaic, but this is getting like very formulaic. Like, I can guess what's going to happen very easily.
I think there's a point where you kind of see, after the boom of Sarah J. Maas.
Yes, yes.
That is what the publishers are looking for. They want that type of...
Well, a lot of these are indie. So I think Carissa's are indie.
Well, because they can move faster than trad publishing markets.
They can.
So I think that they... picked up off that.
Yeah.
The explosion that was A Court of Thorns.
They're written well. Verses. And I find the characters easy to attach to, which is good. I haven't finished Daughter of No Worlds, so I don't know where it's going yet. But like, I like the worlds that are, the Daughter of No Worlds thus far is better than Serpents of Wings and Night, I would argue.
Interesting.
And that's just because I think the world is bigger.
Are you waiting for romance though?
I'm waiting for romance. Yeah, I'm 50% through and there's no romance. And it's a trilogy. Also controversial, think that we should have more standalones.
Agreed. Yeah. I do miss a good standalone fantasy novel.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I can sit down for five books.
Yeah. I
can't make that commitment.
I don't know if it's our busy schedules. Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. It could be.
But like, I really want to just sit down as a binger, binge read one book and that's it. I don't need to pick up the next one.
That's what I'm loving about romance at the moment. That's what I'm liking about Emily Henry's books. Contemporary romance, it is one and done.
One and done.
I'm in there, I've had a great time, and then that's it, I'm finished. I don't ever have to see or speak to these people again.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And that's nice.
Yeah,
right?
I liked those characters for that book.
For that book.
I don't have to come back and sit with them for another 3 hours.
For another 3 hours, yeah, exactly. And I don't need to see, like... I get all of this character development in the spot.
In the spot, yeah.
In the one book,
and I think
I get it all done and dusted.
Yeah,
I don't have to theorize and, you know.
Yeah, I really understand people who enjoy the full series. Like the Throne of Glass series, also Sarah J. Maas, that has such a cult following.
I've been meaning to read that. I heard great things.
It's so long. I only got 3 books in.
Wow.
Because it's so long. It feels like a commitment. Like, I feel like it's a commitment to a relationship that I don't want.
That's so fair. That's really fair. Because, I have started and finished and failed to continue reading The Wheel of Time by Robert Jordan. A huge fantasy series. Because there's 13 books in that fucking series.
Yeah.
Like, I can't make that commitment.
And as a romance girly, I want that romance delivered to me from the go.
And I'm sorry, but when it's missing, I'm now noticing it.
Yeah, same.
Yeah,
I've been converted.
Oh, shit.
I've been really converted.
I've really been converted, yeah.
Yeah, I need my romance.
I just like that, the thrill that you get from following that, even like in romanticy, let's say, you get the thrill of following the love subplot when everything else is going on.
Yeah.
And when anything happens of major importance, especially in these big fantasy worlds, you get this idea of, I get this thought of, my God, that would crush me if that happened to my partner. Or that would crush me if that happened to my wife, or like, obviously that's a very like heterosexual way to view it. But
very heterosexual.
You're very
someone
heterosexual
who doesn't have a wife
from a gay man. Yeah. But like, your partner, your significant other, when half of these things happen in fantasy novels and they've got a romance subplot, you're like, that would fucking suck.
Yeah.
But when they don't have any romantic attachment to anybody and it's like a friendship almost that's not fully developed enough for me to care, I'm always like, this really could be lifted with a romance subplot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Aragorn works in The Lord of the Rings.
I think everything should have a little bit of romance.
Because he, like, she is destined or fated almost to be with him. Like, she is so in love with him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't take up the throne of Gondor. And then when he does in the end, she's literally tied her life force, or at least in the Peter Jackson movies, to the fate of the ring. So, like, if darkness shrouds, then the elves have to leave and he loses his life. And that's beautiful.
Yeah.
It is such a small part of those books, but you're like, I fucking love this.
Yeah,
this
right.
is the shit that I want.
You just spoke to be a bunch in. Of...
gibberish.
Gibberish yeah. in my ears.
Gibberish.
But, like, that's it so sounded fun. Beautiful.
But it's beautiful,
it sounded
yeah.
beautiful, beautiful
her life
gibberish.
Force is tied to the fate of the ring, and then if the ring is destroyed, then the darkness goes away.
Yeah,
but if
right.
the ring is captured by Sauron, then the darkness will spread, and the elves are going to leave the shore and never come back. And then he's going to be stuck there and die, and she's going to have left. And so then she gets told by her father. She says, oh, he says, no, you have to go. You have to leave. You're leaving with the rest of the elves. We're going to disappear. And then she decides to stay. She comes back and she has foresight and sees that they get married mm-hmm. and that they have a kid and that he becomes the king of Gondor. And she says that she won't let go of that hope of him actually, like, defeating the darkness. And so she comes back for right. him. And it's
and
so
you're like,
small.
Oh my God,
but I'm like,
she's
I love
come
it.
Back.
And I didn't realize until I've started reading so much romance
how
and so you start
is.
Getting involved in it, how yeah. like essential that is to the plot
yeah.
of a lot of things that I love is that idea of, oh my God, but they're in love. Mm. Like, don't kill him. Don't hurt her.
They're in love.
They're in love.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it matters.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, one and done. I really like them. You know, I don't want to follow that over 5 books. I mean,
yes.
I want to when it's done well. Don't get me wrong. I'm not shitting
when
on trilogies and shitting
well.
On
yeah.
book
oh,
collections.
Yeah, like, I think
that's
they're
important.
Good.
Yeah.
I just, at the current state of mind,
completely
cannot handle
agree.
How long some of them are. And then, like, even, I don't know, have you read the Fourth Wing series?
No, see, I haven't read Fourth Wing, but I've heard great things about it. I've heard, I'll take that back. I've heard conflicting things about
conflicting
that.
Conflicting things. I think it was good.
Yeah.
As I said, very formulaic, very for the current market of romantasy.
Yeah.
But... again, that's now a series, and it's a 5-book series, and I've read
really?
Only one. It's going to take years for it all to come out. I just don't think I'm that committed.
Oh, wow.
To
so
the
she,
relationship.
She started one, and now it's
well,
right in the second book
I
at the moment.
I think it was, I don't know, it might have always been a 5-book contract.
Interesting.
She's in the middle of the second
yeah.
one comes out in November.
Okay.
November
I did
7th.
Hear
I am keeping track.
Great things about the ending.
I'll be honest, I read it because there were dragons in it.
Yeah, fair, fair.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me. Dragons, fantasy, well.
Yeah,
Abby.
You had me. Dragons and love, I was in.
But see, is that a romanticy?
Yeah.
Yeah, and
yeah,
is the romantic...
Yeah. Well, a lot of people are saying it's not very romance-based. It's more heavy on the fantasy. But I would argue that it's quite romance.
It's quite romance-based.
You know who her love interest is from the get-go.
Yeah.
Like, if
and
you're
is
a romance
it tied to the
person,
fate of the plot?
You know... No, you could take the romance out in the... So I guess it's just a fantasy with a bit of romance subplot.
With a romance subplot,
because you could
yeah.
remove the romance and it would still be a good fantasy book.
Okay.
I wouldn't like it as much, but it would still be...
But
it would stand.
It would stand by
yeah.
itself.
So
yeah.
I guess it's maybe not a romantasy.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
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 So what's... You've said what's next on your list, haven't you?
Did I? Oh, I said I'm reading Daughter of No Worlds at the moment.
That's right, yeah.
I'm going into K-dramas now and a little bit more theory. I want to read more on the men and masculinity in my theory.
Yeah.
So more of the boys will be boys coming down forward.
That type of stuff.
I want to read All About Love by Bell Hooks.
Yeah, see, that's on my current, that's currently what I'm reading alongside Happy Place by Emily Henry.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful book.
I've heard it's beautiful.
It's absolutely beautiful. I'm very interested in A Wheel to Change as well by Bell Hooks.
You need
I still
that.
Have not read that and I've
ever.
Got everybody telling me to read that.
It's very
consistently.
Good.
Yeah.
For those who at home,
those at home, yeah,
that
please.
Don't know, read "The Wheels Are Changed" by Bell Hooks. It's on men, masculinity, and love, and it is amazing.
I have heard nothing but outstanding reviews.
Yeah,
it's just such
new forms
like,
of masculinity.
Yeah. Bell Hooks so has good. Such an amazing way of condensing such a really intense theoretical discussion.
I think
into
it's such
beautiful,
yeah,
fucking
it's
words.
Such accessible theory.
Yes.
Very accessible theory. And I actually find that a lot of this theory that I'm reading goes along with the fiction so well.
Yeah.
Like, you can read that theory and it actually is aided alongside fiction.
But that's what I like about theory reading.
Yeah.
Is that I always find that when I read theory, I can apply it directly to my life.
Yeah.
And I'm such a, I'm a person that has very strong beliefs and likes to defend those beliefs.
Yeah, you do.
And so theory helps me defend my beliefs.
Yeah.
Or educate me in changing my beliefs.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that type of reading aligns so much better with me as a person.
Yeah.
And so I can read it quickly because it's an advantage to me. But sometimes I need to view reading fiction as an advantage as well.
Yes.
There's no other way you're going to be able to learn
from the fiction. Yeah.
Like, you can't write well if you don't read.
Yep.
Because that's how you learn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what's next on your reading list?
So once Happy Place is done, I think I'm going to move on to 7 Days in June.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I read Seven Days in June this month as well.
Now again, I can't even Google this. It's by
Tia Williams,
that's right. Yeah. Very excited for that.
I finished
Normal People by Sally Rooney. Uh-huh. That was my book before Happy Place. Brilliant book. Absolutely adored
probably
it.
Probably on my TBR. Yeah. For next month.
I think when we do our romance podcast episode and we bring some people in, I think it'll be interesting to share the debate that I know two of our colleagues have about normal people and whether or not it's a romance
about
or not.
That. Yeah, for sure.
Because I think that's fascinating. I would class it as a romance, in my
opinion. You would?
Yes.
I haven't read it, so I can't stand on this debate. I will read it.
Yeah, you're going to have to read it.
I
loved it. Yeah. I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
I've heard really good things.
And then, I picked up Happy Place thinking, oh, this will be good. Mm-hmm. And I'm so far absolutely fucking loving it. Like, I think it's, oh, God, it's so good. She's just brilliant. Emily Henry has
a way with words that, like...
Those similes are just...
She's just such a beautiful writer. And I don't know. I think it's hard. Not hard. I don't want to bash on any authors, even though we've given our disclaimer. I don't want to...
No.
I think it's hard to find good writing in romance at the moment without it being too fan fiction.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like,
yeah.
I think, which is also consumable still, and people love that writing, but Emily Henry is just writing in a way to me that feels like good writing.
Yeah, that's fair.
It just feels like comfortable, good writing. Like, I'm learning from her writing because she writes so well.
It scratches my brain as well.
Yes.
She just has a way of describing, especially the love between her two characters.
Yeah.
At the moment, the couple that are in Happy Place, no spoilers. The way that she describes their relationship at the start and about how everything has been between them is just so realistic.
Yeah, I love those characters. Yeah. She's so good at character.
It is very, very hetwashed, I will admit.
Yeah.
Almost, yeah. And very millennial. But, and that's not said as an insult. But it's, oh God, I don't know. It's so hard. It's hard to describe because I want to finish the book before I start talking about it.
Yeah.
Any
if
of my
you
characters.
Want more on it, you can go to Love on Campus and listen to three of our romance colleagues talk about Happy Place by Emily Henry.
Exactly, in their book club this month.
In their book club this month. That's why we've read it.
That's why we've read it as well. But and then obviously I just finished the If This Gets Out, the gay romance book.
At the end of the last podcast, we were talking about If This Gets Out. I would love you to talk a little bit more about that.
It was really, really good. So it's about it's like I was saying in the last episode. It's Larry Stylinson. I don't know if that's what they call it. Fan fiction.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
Is that confirmed?
No, not confirmed. I have not confirmed that, but it is.
Who's it written by? Do you
remember
the
author? Sophie Gonzalez and Cara Dietrich.
Oh, okay. Two.
Two women. Two women that have written it. I might have had their first name swapped around. I'll think of that after. And if not, we'll just post it on our socials.
Yes.
But we've got, two band members. They're in a very, very successful boy band. And they fall in love and they're kind of fucking around a little bit. Like, they're having sex and stuff. And they get told... Nobody else in the band knows at the start.
They're falling around.
Yeah, they're kind of like fondling behind the scenes, under a blanket when they're in the bus, doing their tours, going on stage, performing, and really like, getting it on, right?
Yeah.
And they have all of these like instances where they go to each other's hotel rooms and they're having sex. And the sex isn't too bad. Like I said, it's kind of closed door sex, but it gets heated before the door closes. And I kind of appreciated that, but I kind of wanted
more. So you're
more.
Getting like a hint of it and then they take it away.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very fan-fiction-y.
And you're like, oh, bye.
They describe him a lot.
It's sounding very Larry coded.
It's
like, I feel like the Larry people would enjoy it.
They would absolutely love it. So if you're a fan of Larry and
I am not.
I'm not a fan of it either. Yeah. Louis Tomlinson and Harry Styles fan fiction. This is the book for you. Because it just goes a little bit more in depth about what this kind of thing would be like.
Yeah. The impacts of that kind of relationship on their career.
And they're international pop stars.
Yeah.
So they're sending each other text messages. They're, you know, they're doing all this kind of stuff in the public eye, but it's being spun media and marketing wise as friendship.
Right.
Yeah. So then eventually it kind of goes, not to spoil the end of the book as well, but they go and they kind of get found out.
Yeah.
So they didn't realize.
Well, that feels like the inevitable, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, they didn't realize that what they were doing was so obvious. Yeah. Essentially. They kind of thought they were being a little bit sneakier.
Yeah.
And then they get told, well, actually, no, you can't do this.
Yeah.
Because we've got a whole fan base of girls here that absolutely froth over the two of you. So there's no way this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And a lot of the band are aware that one of the members is gay, but they're not aware the other is and that they've been fondling.
Right.
Fondling sounds bad. Fooling around is what I mean. Not fondling. My God.
Fondling. Not How aware old are you, fondling. Harry?
Well, literally, yeah, that sounds like a really, yeah, grossly PG way of talking about sex.
They're fondling under the blanket.
Yes.
Can but, I ask yeah. you something then?
Yeah.
As a gay man, reading this, how did you feel the representation was?
I felt the representation was not to be derogatory, but fan fiction-y.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It didn't feel real?
No, it didn't feel real.
Yeah.
No, it was an imagination. It was like a fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the type of stuff that I can imagine would really appeal to people that look at two famous celebrities and, yeah, just imagine
shipping.
Them. Imagine
it
them having sex.
It appeals to ship culture.
Ship culture, yeah, 100%. Right. But yeah.
A sexual ship culture.
You know, like, there are some things that they're doing in the book, which are, it's obviously more of a YA book, but it's, you're like, oh, this is definitely something that somebody would imagine.
Yeah. Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Which I guess is
the fiction space, but also not what you're looking for. You're looking for real representations of gay men,
yeah.
not these, like,
it's
fictionalized.
It's definitely
ship culture, which there are so much issues with ship culture.
Well, ship culture is really intense at the moment now as well.
It is.
Everybody really cares about what celebrities are doing.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah. Everyone is really on the celebrity bandwagon. Yeah.
Like Timothy Chalamet and Kylie Jenner.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's been all over.
That's everywhere.
Yeah.
Because everyone wants to know everything about it. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
Whenever we release this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that they might.
Taylor and Travis.
Travis.
Yeah.
What's
everyone's
his last name?
Really
is it Kelce? Yeah.
Kelce. Yeah. Kelce, he's a footy player or something.
Yeah.
Football.
NFL.
NFL?
Yeah.
They call it football.
They call it football over there, yeah. But that's really big. Like, people
are really interested
in this dating life.
Yeah.
But this is, I don't think this book was released that long ago. I think it was, I want to say comfortably about 2020 or 2021.
Right, okay. So
and
with yeah.
Yeah. That's a long time for it, which is what I expect it to be, Harry Styles and Louis fan fiction,
yeah.
to be published and still be marketable.
Yeah. I would love to know the origins and if it is Larry.
Still existing.
If it's not Larry originally, then it's appealing to people who, yeah.
Yeah, but the way that they're described.
Oh, okay.
Is, they don't look exactly like them.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't really tell that it was Harry Styles per se. Mm.
That's the impression you get, though.
Yeah, that's the impression I get. I definitely get Louis Tomlinson.
Yeah, right.
That much is very clear.
How many people in the band?
Five.
Ah.
Yeah, five or four?
Are there five in One Direction? Were there five in
Were
One Direction?
Were there five in One Direction? What have we got? Louis, Niall.
Harry.
Zayn.
Liam.
Five.
Ah.
Yeah,
five. I see.
Oh, it could be more of a Liam Payne situation.
There were so many ships when One Direction was a thing.
Yeah.
In between all of the members.
It's such a thing
obviously the Korean media is what I get a lot. And it's such a thing in K-pop as well to ship two band members.
Yeah.
Like, and it's always
gay shipping?
Yeah, oh,
yeah.
That's all there is.
Oh, yeah.
Constantly, yeah.
Constantly,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
They don't ship, well, some people do, I think, ship between like a female band because they don't do co-opt bands. They do like full female bands, full male bands. I think there might be. Which is very binary of me to say.
Yeah,
but I think there might be inter-shipping.
I think
there are a couple bands
term.
That mix, but it's mostly just a boy band and a girl band.
Yeah, okay.
But the boy bands get huge shipping. Like, they have ship wars.
Wow.
In the fandom. They call them, like, shipping wars, I guess. I'm not up on too much of it.
Too much of the modern lingo.
I don't like to get too involved in the K-pop fan.
That's fair. Yeah, it sounds very intense.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They do. Yeah.
Yeah,
see, they ship that type of stuff. Yeah,
they do. Absolutely. Yeah. Heaps.
But that's like Ellie Hazelwood, isn't it?
It's really Yeah.
Like, that's shipping culture. But also
what
not
part
shipping
about
culture.
Ellie Hazelwood? Oh, yeah, with, because of Ray and Kylo and Ray.
Kylo and Ray.
Yeah.
And they don't, they're not romantic per se in the new Star Wars movies.
No.
Like, there's a kiss.
I don't know. There, oh, is there?
There's a kiss at the end.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It's one of the worst things
ever. Was that
ever,
like
as he
for
dies.
The fans? Do you reckon that was initially planned or they did that for the fans?
I reckon they did that for the fans.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But like, that's that kind of idea of like fan fiction between two, because slash fiction is essentially shipping.
Yeah.
That's Kirk
yeah,
and Spock.
That is
you know?
Shipping. Yep.
Yeah. And that starts there and it just like that moves into AO3 and fanfic and Wattpad. And now a lot of the stuff that we're seeing published
now
is fanfiction.
I always wonder with the rise of indie, like indie publishing is getting more and more.
It's so prolific.
Specifically now that people are reading online a lot more, like Kindle.
Yeah.
Indie is way more accessible than your physical books, like published, which is traditional trad publishing.
And I will admit, so cheap.
So much more affordable.
This is an indie published book right now.
Well, most of mine are on Kindle Unlimited. So, like, free. Girl Math, it's free once
free
it's
ones.
On Kindle Unlimited, even though I'm paying for Kindle Unlimited.
Girl Math.
Girl Math. But I feel like because that's so popular, authors who once exclusively wrote fan fiction, like they wrote on Wattpad. That's what I was reading back in my teens.
Back in the day.
But then like AO3 as well, they now can monetize because that was all free. They can now monetize it and actually get money for their writing, which they deserve, but it's taking fan fiction and they're turning it into books.
Yeah, but then like you've got also people that are getting picked up by trad publishers for their fan fiction work.
Yes.
So some of them are going across from Indian and then others are going across to your
directly from fan fiction to trad.
To trad,
yeah. I think, was Ellie Hazelwood one
Ellie
of those?
Hazelwood was,
she was,
yeah.
Like scouted.
Because, yeah, she was scouted with her...
That not every fan fiction writer's
fan fiction.
Yeah. And now she's written...
Now she's huge.
Yeah, well, she wrote a book in a Star Wars...
Yeah.
Anthology.
Anthology, that's right. Yeah, I'm yet to read. I've got the book.
Did you have to get the book?
I bought
they
the
only
book.
Just released that.
I know, yeah. I saw it at a Dimmicks and I picked it up.
Shout out to Sean Williams.
Shout out to
he's
Sean
in
Williams.
That book.
Yeah. Sean, you'll be signing my copy when I see you next.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's
weird.
Prolific.
So I am finding a lot reads like fan fiction,
but
which isn't a bad thing.
Isn't it
like
also
I just read a fan fiction because I wanted to.
Yeah.
That's what I read this month.
That's
as well.
Right. Yeah, you read it at fan fiction.
I read
as well.
Manacled, yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting. You gave me a really good rundown on that.
I did. Yeah. I read Manacled. Most people listening to this, I imagine, would know what Manacled is.
Well,
but
have
it's
heard
a
of Manacled
would have heard
least,
of Manacled.
Yeah.
It's a Dromione. So it's a Draco and Hermione Harry Potter fan fiction.
Here we go, we're going with the shipping again.
Yeah, it's a ship.
Yeah,
well,
it's a ship.
All fan fiction is shipping.
Slash.
That's where it's slash. Yeah, that's where it started. So, yeah, it's set if Harry lost the war and Voldemort won.
Yeah, and like a Handmaid's Tale
and
situation,
like a Handmaid's
right?
Tale situation, yeah. She becomes his, like, sex slave.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
Yeah. Or his handmaid. Yeah.
His handmaid.
His handmaid.
His handmaid,
yeah.
If we're going with Handmaid's Tale. His handmaid. I read it because everyone was crying. Like, I kept getting TikToks of people absolutely sobbing over this
so
fan fiction. It's 370,000 words or something.
It's a whopping.
It's fucking whopping. And you know what? I read it in, like, 2-3 days. Like, I couldn't put it down. So it was, there was something, like, crack. There was crack in this book.
There was crack in the book. Yeah.
But I didn't cry. I was really hoping to cry. I picked it up wanting to cry. I wanted to sob in the way that these readers were sobbing. And I just didn't. I didn't cry.
But see, you didn't cry in Song of Achilles either, did you?
I don't cry in a lot, Harry.
You cry in a lot, yeah.
Didn't finish Song of Achilles, though.
That was a big crier for me.
Yeah,
that's
right.
A big crying book, yeah. That's like I would...
Are you looking at that as a representation of...
I am, yeah. And I think that's quite good.
Yeah,
right. I think that's actually a really interesting take on it.
Yeah, right.
And I often now argue when we're watching... Troy or anything with Brad Pitt, and I go, well, you know, that's not just his cousin, it was actually his lover.
It's not just his cousin.
Not just his, or not his cousin at all, if we want to be, if we want to avoid that route
that
publicly.
Route.
Yeah. Oh, literally. My God. Where's my laughter button?
Oh,
we're going for the
cheering.
Cheering. That sounds bad.
The blue one underneath that
cheering.
Is your...
Oh, this one? Oh, there you go. That's even better. So, I think it's an interesting time, though. I think with indie publishing being on the rise, and you've got people that have written fan fiction for ages. I know we've got colleagues that started with fan fiction and wrote fan fiction. Mm. Then you can find you can monetize it now, like you said.
Yeah. I just, there is so much I could more. Be entirely wrong. I could be talking out my ass, but I feel like that's where it's all started, is that now that you can, people who wrote fan fiction religiously can now monetize it. They can put it on a different platform that's not AO3 and they can get money for it. They just have to remove the names.
Yeah, it's such an exciting time though to be an author, because the pathway has opened up tremendously.
Absolutely.
And the support for indie publishing in the industry is getting better.
Yeah.
And
I
will admit the quality as well.
I think the quality is improving.
The quality of indie
publishing. Not to say that it's always bad, but there are some terrible things on there.
There are some times when,
it's not written well.
The brilliance of trad publishing is the editors and the copywriters and the intense process that you go through. I agree. Important experience. But sometimes indie publishing doesn't go through the same level of scrutiny.
Yeah, I know they have beta readers and editors, but it's, a lot of the time it's not the same scrutiny, and you can tell, I think, when they haven't had beta readers or...
That's the fun part though now, is because there are books now that you can't tell.
Yeah, you can't tell. Like, Carissa Broadbent I'm reading at the moment, which I really hope that's her name. I'm getting it right, because I can't look it up right now.
We really want to give her a shout out.
Yeah. Well, her work is really good. So, and like, I think, if I pick that up as a book now... Like a YA book, I would believe it.
Yeah, you'd go.
I'd believe it was trad published.
It was trad published.
I could be wrong. Maybe they are trad published, but I'm pretty sure they're indie.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's another book as well, Guild, I think, by Samantha. I can't quite think of her last name. Oh, no, I think it's Jen Kennedy.
Oh.
Yeah,
Guild.
Samantha.
Were they indie first?
They are indie. Yeah.
The Guild? I've seen them in
bookstores. Yeah. I think.
Were they indie?
I think I'm talking about the right one. Guild. It's got...
Is this like, have you seen the cover?
Yes, I have seen the cover.
Is it like the black cover and it's got the gold?
The gold thing with the crow.
Wow, I didn't know that was indie.
Yeah, pretty sure it's indie. Oh. Because in the front, it's her.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And I find that interesting.
That's a really big series too.
Because that's a big series.
I've not read that one. But
no, I've read a little bit of it. Like I started with it when I was going to write Romantasy.
Started
reading a lot of those books and then went, oh, hang on a second. No, I've got to do contemporary. So I switched across. Yeah. A lot of stuff, but I'm interested. Are you looking forward to any books this year?
Am I looking forward to any?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I am looking forward to the second Fourth Wing.
That's fair.
Yeah, that comes out November 7th. Not that I loved the first one. I wasn't as hyped for the first one as some people are.
Yeah, it's big. It's got a big following.
It's got a huge following.
It's huge on TikTok.
Oh my god, it's massive. I think it overtook. It's like the top number one New York Times bestselling book.
Is it really? Wow.
I could be wrong. That could be very wrong.
I had a suspicious feeling that Happy Place was still kicking ass.
Oh, I think it's very... I think Happy Place was first, and I think Fourth Wing was creeping up on Emily Henry.
It's impressive.
I'm looking forward to the second one of that.
Yeah.
What else? I really want to read Sally Rooney.
I think you'll love Sally Rooney.
Yeah, I'm going to read some more Sally Rooney.
Such a brilliant style.
I've not read any Sally Rooney yet, but... I want to read more contemporary romance as opposed to... Oh, do you know what... Oh, my gosh. Do you know what I am looking forward to?
Oh, I think I know where we're going with this.
This is my birthday present this year. Yeah. Name Drop, it's called.
It is indeed.
I'm pretty sure it's by Susan Lee. I'm going to have to...
K-drama book, is it not?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if she's marketed it that way, but... This chair is making the creakiest noises. I'm hoping it's not being picked up because I can't sit still. I'm pretty sure her name is Susan Lee, and I really want to get it right, and I wish I could Google it right now. I really like K-dramas, and I've not found any like novel equivalents to what a K-drama feels like. This Time It's Real was really close, but this book is about two Korean-American college students, I believe, or grad students.
Yeah.
And they have the same last name, I think. Like they've both got a Korean surname, and they go to work at the same company, and their surnames get mixed up. Like they get mixed up. So he's from a really, I could be butchering this, so I apologize to Susan if I am, but he's from a really like, I don't know if he's the CEO's son, which is really common in K-dramas, or, I don't know. He's from a really high class family, and she just really needs a good internship. Like she needs really good connections.
Ah, okay.
And they get mixed up, and they all think that she's the daughter of, like, it's like a mix, a mistaken identity trope, I guess you could call it. They swap places in this company. And so she's getting all these good connections and he gets to just kind of float through the way he wants because he doesn't care about those connections. But they have to live this mistaken identity life together. And that's what it's about. But
interesting. You are correct. It is The Name Drop by Susan Lee.
Susan Lee. Yeah. So I'm very, very much looking forward to that.
That has an enormous amount of marketing behind it.
Yeah.
It's huge. Yeah.
As it should. Which is impressive to watch. It looks amazing.
It's impressive though because she's got such a niche part of the market.
Yeah.
And she's just, yeah.
Yeah. So I will, once I read that, I will become, I'm getting it for my birthday from my mother. But as soon as I read it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
An episode on The Name Drop.
I could talk about anything really. Yeah. But I'm also looking forward to, this doesn't come out till May next year. So this is just a very forward excitement. But it's by Jun He.
Yeah.
And it's a K-drama inspired, like it's set in the Joseon period.
Oh.
And I think it's called like A Crane Among Wolves.
That's or Wolves so fitting towards your interest from last year as well, which is a big,
Yeah. I think it's called A Crane Among Wolves by Jun He. And it's set during the Joseon Korean period.
Interesting.
And that's a romantic. Like
that's
romance.
A romance.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know if there's much fantasy, but it's a historical romance maybe. We'll find out.
I'm trying to find the name of the one that I'm looking forward to because there are a couple of books that I've got that are not new books, but I'm looking forward to reading over the summer.
Yeah.
I definitely want to read The Unhoneymooners by Christina Loren again.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I need to read some Christina Loren.
We're super fortunate to be meeting Christina Loren, and Loren, should I say, next year at Romance Writers Australia, which is being held here in Adelaide. And they're coming across and they're going to be there. To us. Yeah. So exciting that they're coming down to see us, which is amazing. So shout out to them if they're ever listening, which I doubt that they are, but we love you. And that'll be good because I have read it once before, but I don't recall it much. So I'm quite keen now to read it with a fresh set of eyes.
Yeah, I haven't read it. I definitely need to.
Yeah. And then this is, again, not new at all, but I'm really looking forward to reading it again. I cannot wait over summer to sit down and read the Narnia books again.
The Narnia books.
So specific, I know.
Oh, my God. I think they're coming out with a TV show.
They are, yeah. Greta Gerwig.
A good time to reread. Yeah.
She's directing.
Greta?
Yeah, Greta.
We love Greta.
The Barbie movie.
We love Greta. So it's going to be
Greta.
Good.
We stan Greta.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to reading the books again because I think if there's a TV show
coming out, I never
read
the Narnia books.
I really want to.
I never read them.
I think they're beautiful, but I just have not read them in a really long time. Yeah. And I think it's nice because I'm just going to step outside of like academic reading
and just read something for fun.
Yeah. And just read for enjoyment over summer. It's really good.
What are you reading theory wise coming up?
Yeah. Theory wise, at the moment, at the moment, I'm reading All About Love.
Yeah.
I love it. Cannot wait to get my hands on a copy of The Will to Change. Yep. I've actually got one ordered and it's on its way. And then after that, I think I really want to start getting into a little bit more on feminism and porn culture.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in looking into more of the porn culture.
Yeah.
It just seems so untapped.
Yeah.
I guess. There's so much work on it.
Yeah.
But we're in porn culture now. Right?
We are, yeah. We're in a rape culture, we're in the technically speaking.
Yeah. Yeah, technically speaking, you're
like
right.
Like a pornified rape culture.
So, like, and we really have been so affected by this shit.
Yeah.
And I want to understand it more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it links a lot
to
my research.
It'll be relevant
to
your research.
Moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it'll just be quite enlightening, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've done a lot of work on men and masculinity and stuff this year.
Oh, that's where I'm going into now.
Oh,
yeah.
It's fascinating. Yeah. But I feel like it'll be nice to take a little bit of
a detour,
and start focusing on something a little bit different.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah. I think it's going to be fun. And more queer romance.
Yeah.
Where's my... No. No, I don't want this one. I want the... Oh, I don't want that either. That's
either.
Bad for the queers.
Oh, you want cheering?
I want cheering.
One above the blue.
This one? No, this one. Here we go.
That'll be the one.
There we go. Cheering.
Cheering romance.
For queer romance. We want more queer romance.
Have you read Aristotle and Dante?
No, I have not read Aristotle and Dante.
I could. That's queer, is it?
That is queer.
I'm pretty sure that's queer. It is queer, yeah. Is that on your list?
It will be on my list, yeah. Yeah. I've been reading, actually. This is fascinating. I can't believe I haven't talked. What have I been reading? Oh, my God. I can't believe I haven't brought this up. Gay pulp fiction from the 1970s, 1980s.
Have been reading that.
I have read, yes. Actually, what am I talking about? One book a week. I read 8 books last week.
8?
8 of these.
That's more than a book a day. Books.
Yeah, it was huge. I devoured these books. They were so interesting. I can't believe that I'm only just now getting into this at the end of the podcast.
What's our time?
We've still got 10 minutes, I think.
We'll just cut something else out so that we can fit this in, I'll be honest.
So I started looking at all this stuff and I found an archive online which had all of these old, like, Greenleaf classics and Surrey House books.
Yeah.
From the 60s, 70s, 80s. And they are the, like, sexiest covers, like, if you can imagine them. Like, they're practically men with their penises out. And it's so intense. And it's really...
I'm sorry, but a penis is not sexy, Harry. Not, no, maybe for a gay man.
Maybe for a gay man, yeah. But, like, they're so... they're kind of vulgar. They're quite vulgar covers, right?
Yeah.
And it's obvious what the books are going to be about. And they were the kind of books that were bought in, like, dime stores and, like, you know, petrol stations.
Yes, all that type
of stuff.
In and places, like, that nobody would know you buying it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know... and I'm really interested in finding out if they had fake covers. Because the covers are so intense that it would have been really hard to walk around in the 60s and 70s with these kind of books, and they should put them straight in the bag.
Kind of like what our covers are doing nowadays. I feel like they're getting a little bit more
conservative
so that you can read them in public.
So that you can read them in public. Yeah, you've got this cartoony
look to
romance.
They're not like, you know, the busty woman.
But the covers, the titles of these are also so intense. So this is, again, there was obviously a content warning at the start of this episode, but here, this is just a reminder that there's going to be some vulgarity. Yeah.
You're allowed to say penis and anything else you want on the pod,
Harry. Yeah, well, that's the beauty of messiness, isn't it?
Yep.
But you've got put it in by a guy called...
It's an innuendo in there somewhere.
Oh, it really is, isn't it? You can do whatever you want when it's messy. But there's like a book called Put It In by Jay Alper. Cycle Sucker or something
cycle
like that.
Is that cycle a cyclist? Sucker. Like bikes?
No, they're not cyclists. Yeah, it's just
like cycle?
He goes around the group, yeah.
I don't know why my first thought was bikes and not...
And then the other one was like some B&D boys, which is like BDSM essentially.
Yeah, right.
And it's so interesting having a look at what this stuff was written at the time, because most of it is written by gay men and it is so sex focused.
Right.
So I've been looking at a lot of hypersexuality recently and trying to see why a lot of male and male romance is hypersexual. Right.
Yeah.
And trying to explain that, at least in my life, in queer life, and as a gay man in a relationship, that it's not always hypersexual. Yes, there's a lot of hypersexuality, but it's not the be all and end all of gay male
relations.
That
doesn't have to be the primary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And reading these books is so interesting because at that time, that really would have been, that gives such a good snapshot of really how the culture was at that time and what the gay community was like.
Yeah.
And there's very little plot. And by very little plot, I mean no plot. It is sex, straight off the bat.
Yeah, right.
All the way through. You get a little bit of character and then they just have sex for 60 to 200 pages.
Is that like the only gay fiction of its time?
That's kind of what I've found at the moment, I think.
Yeah.
It's a hidden part of time. So it's like a really big missing part of gay history.
Yeah.
Really hard to find. You can barely buy the books anywhere. And if you want to buy them from somewhere and anywhere, they're like hundreds and hundreds of dollars for one copy.
Yeah, right. They're like vintage.
Yeah, vintage. Yeah. And a lot of what a famous author, Michael Bronski, he talks about it in a book called Pulp Friction. He says that he thinks a lot of the books were destroyed.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he says people are ashamed to have them.
So they
you read them and you discarded them. You didn't hold on to them. Yeah. And obviously
there weren't collections that you kept because you're not proud of that collection.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
But they were released as part of collections.
Yeah.
Called things like Man Hard and stuff, which
Pulp
I think is
Friction,
hysterical.
Man Hard. These are so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, oh, it's really actually quite sad. And he says that there's a lot of the authors that were in there as well that he doesn't think were using pseudonyms and died in the AIDS pandemic. So he says that history is lost, you know. There's all of these authors here that really didn't carry on to do much else after this big release of books, but that the books were so successful.
Mm.
Like that Greenleaf Classics and stuff sold millions of copies of these books because they were so popular. Everyone wanted to read the books.
So how are you finding reading them?
I find them really interesting.
Yeah.
I think they
interesting
don't,
in what way?
They don't give a depiction of my life.
Oh, yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
But they definitely give an interesting, I think there's a lot to say in why current male on male romance is written like it is.
Yeah, okay. With a
yeah.
often with a sex focus.
With a sex focus yeah. and a sex focus without intimacy.
If this is the foundation that it's built from.
Yeah. yeah. And I agree. And I think they talk a lot about how these books do go back to as early as the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, but that they really rose to success in the 50s, 60s and 70s when you have all the gay liberation movements and you have a lot of people that start to like mass printing and more of a capitalist society where you can go and get these types of things from a petrol station and you can just kind of hide
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, you can be a little bit more secretive.
Tuck it in your shirt on the yeah. way out. Yeah, right.
And so I was like, oh, it's fascinating. But yes, that's I cannot believe I didn't even bring that up when I was going there. That's what I've been reading. That's what I've been reading at the moment in between Happy Place and stuff.
That's
is,
so
yeah,
fascinating.
All of this type of stuff.
You're and reading I your history.
Just found that, yes, literally, reading where I came from. Yeah. But yeah, I've just stumbled across only last night when I was lying in bed the whole collection of what they call Man Hard books by Greenleaf Classics.
Yeah, right.
And where I thought there were like 16 books of them, there's like 70 or 80.
Wow.
So I'm so interested in having a look.
A lot of reading.
Yeah, I can't wait to read yeah. and see if it was a little bit less sex focused in the 50s and the 60s, or then when it exploded in the 70s and the 80s, if that's when it became more hypersexual. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's what I'm really looking forward to reading all that stuff. They're so easy to read. They're yeah. really intense, I will
Are
admit.
Are they written well, do you think?
Relatively well.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I'd say that they're definitely pushed for print.
Yeah. Is it like wild, like are they like really wild sex scenarios?
Quite wild sex scenarios.
Yeah,
some
right.
of them are really intense.
Yeah.
And I think the most disturbing part about it is that there's a lot of age stuff in there,
which oh, is yeah, okay.
which makes it really sometimes difficult to read because you're like, "Oh, okay,
this said is age?"
Age.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Age I heard something stuff. Else.
Yeah, yeah, AIDS.
Yeah. yeah. I was like, "Oh, that's heavy for a sex book."
Yeah, there is one book, Business for Pleasure, I think, by, I can't remember what his last name was, Ed Kroc, I think his name is.
Ed Kroc.
Ed Kroc, yeah, K-R-O-C-H.
Okay.
And that does mention the AIDS pandemic
right.
in the book. Yeah, yeah, and I was like, that's
well, it would have been very relevant at the time. Yeah. So I imagine, like, our cultural anxieties are in all of our romance, so
it
would creep in.
Yeah, yeah. It makes sense. And yeah. It would creep in with that type of stuff, yeah. But
are you finding them like educational reads?
Yes, I am finding them educational reads.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting
yeah.
to see why this was so popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's also a lot of stuff like Michael Bronski again talks about pulp in Pulp Friction about how there was a big heterosexual readership for it as well.
Yeah.
And I find that interesting.
We could so do a whole episode
on
that topic, yeah. on the gays.
on
yeah.
the gays.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, I'm obviously a heterosexual white woman, so I can't contribute a lot to the conversation, but I can learn.
But it's fun.
Yeah. I would love to learn.
I can't really talk much about heterosexualism, apart from its effects on my life.
Well, no.
Yeah.
But I can.
But you can, yeah.
I don't think anyone ding, ding. Needs to talk about heterosexualism. I think it's spoken about a lot. Yeah.
Well, we're nearing the end now. We're at 49 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shall we wrap up?
We've done it again. Shall we wrap up?
Yeah. Again, we blaze through these and I forget everything that we've just said. So
yeah.
I hope that made some sort
I
of...
I hope any of that made sense, yeah. And that...
Some sort of sense.
We've had some sort of a conversation here about the books that we've been reading, the books we're looking forward to reading.
Yeah.
And if you're reading anything that's exciting...
Let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
Absolutely.
Please let us know.
And I can always add more to my TBR list.
Yeah, and if you have a book that you really, really love or a book that you want our opinion on,
yeah,
why not let us know?
Yeah.
It'd be so much fun. Because then we can tell you all about all the books that we love and all the books we don't really love. But at the moment, I think we're just, as we have been all year, just reading.
Yeah.
Just reading as much as we can.
Reading. We read.
For as long as we can.
Constantly. So yeah. I think we'll do these regularly. An update on what we're reading and...
And
where
we can start
at.
Going into a little bit more about what, like, the book that we're reading. We can stop for a week and we can go, hey, we're really going to talk about this book.
Yeah.
And
especially
why
if
we
that's
love it
what
so
people
much.
Want. But yeah. Cool.
But again, thank you so much. This is episode 2 of
thank
The Winey Writers.
I hope you're enjoying your wine and your writing.
Yeah. As much as we are. Especially the wine.
Yeah. I really wish we had wine on us.
I really wish
we're gonna
we had
We're going to have
wine.
To do Endeavour Again. Does some record somewhere we can have wine.
Episode 3 is going to have wine, yeah. Guys.
Oh, so we should have wine.
Stay tuned because that could get messy.
Yeah.
But that's part
we
of the
We love
fun.
The messy.
We love the messy. All right. All right. Well, bye, everyone. Thanks again for another great episode. And we hope you enjoy listening to us. And we'll see you next week for episode 3, where I think we're going to start talking about the next step in our academic journey.
Yeah, I think we might talk honours.
Might talk honours, yeah.
Our honours degrees as writing students.
It was a big year
student.
For us, so
yeah.
Stay tuned. I think you guys
that
are
will get
like
messy.
That
add wine and honours and it'll be a messy chat.
And it'll be a messy chat just like our honours, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.